For thousands of high school athletes, this is the season that was not. All of their hard work and achievements on and off the field, they were taken away. But we've got you covered. 975 The Fanatic and ESPN want to award a local athlete an honorary ESPY award. Go to 975thefanatic.com, nominate a local outstanding student athlete whose achievements were not rewarded. On Monday, June 15th, we will start the voting process to award a Philadelphia ESPN ESPY. The winner will be announced Friday, June 19th. And again, you go to 975thefanatic.com to nominate someone who you think is qualified and you'd like to see honored. The official honoree ESPY award is brought to you by Capital One. Tune into the ESPYs on Sunday, June 21st at 9 p.m. on ESPN. It's all presented by ESPN and 97.5 The Fanatic. So that's going. I wonder how they're doing that. They'll do the ESPYs because usually you have people that go up on stage and they're all in an arena. I wonder if they'll just invite fewer people and have them sit social distanced. Interesting. In the last couple of years, it's been in Los Angeles at the Staples Center, I do believe. I'll have to find out that information. 610-632-0975. And each passing week, we do get a little bit more information of how sports will resume. And this week, it was the NBA voting and approving the 22-team format that has 9 teams in the East, 13 teams in the West, and they will play 8 regular season games and then see where those records fall. And if you are within 4 games of the 8th seed, then you will have a play-in. So there's all kinds of speculation of what those play-in matchups could be. And obviously, they're interesting for the Western Conference. Washington has 24 wins, which is the fewest of the 22 teams that are in. So it hardly seems like they will be in a play-in situation. So it will be all eyes on the West at that point. Let's check in with Chris in Williamstown. Chris, what's going on? How are you? Thank you for calling.
Damn, sitting out here pondering whether to throw a bonfire tonight, you know, just to relax and kind of enjoy the flame of, you know, a nice, comfortable afternoon. I've been sitting outside listening to the radio most of the day, whether it was, you know, Pat earlier with, Martinez. Thank God he's back. But just everything. You know, whether it's Sir Anthony Dominguez, who had Tommy John at the end of last season, and I hope he, you know, has enough.
Might need it again.
He needed it after the end of, I think he was postponing it or something.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because he does need it.
Yeah, so they were hoping that the rest was going to give him enough time to come back ready for the season. I still hope that's the case because I need to see him come back. David Robertson, another guy that was on the shelf. I hope he's a little bit further along in his recovery because of the pandemic. I hope Joel Embiid, which was really the focus of mine, was the Sixers. I hope Joel Embiid has no excuses. He's been taking the time instead of going out and bowling and flamingo dancing and doing all that other kind of nonsense. I wonder if the young lady is still in his life. And in his ear, trying to get him back, you know, where he should be. Like, all these things kind of, you know, are like, okay, well, you've had all this time off now.
Well, let me ask you, do you find it, and you might not feel one way or the other, but a lot of them have not spent much time showing what they're doing on social media. So whatever they're doing, they're being kind of quiet about it.
I mean, that's always been the case for me, D. Like, just the secrecy of people. Like, what's Ben Simmons doing right now? Has he been working with people? Has he been trying to get a shot where he thinks it needs to be before he unleashes it to the world? I mean, you know.
Well, the one thing with Ben is because he had the back injury, rehab was considered essential. So he's been going to the practice facility from day one to get his rehab because of his back. So, and then when they could lift that slightly, I did see, I mean, he was continuing to go there. And now what he can do, I don't know. Obviously, you're allowed to shoot and work out with somebody else. And for hockey, obviously, they make that six people. Eventually, I don't know what they'll say the number is for basketball. But Ben's been the one guy that I've seen come in and out, meaning I'm not sitting there, but people have camped out to see who goes in and out, and he's one of the ones I've seen.
But see, that's always been the case with Ben, but yet nothing ever changed. One more thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, and this being the most recent thing we were talking about, Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz, you know, for the first time ever, I actually went and invested $100+ on a jersey, and it was Carson's jersey. I've never done that with any other sports athlete, and it was something that stuck with me. Now that they've drafted Hurts, like, this is really the year for Carson Wentz, and I'm sorry, I don't care what weapons you may have on that field.
Right.
Super Bowl or bust for him at this point. I can't do it again, especially with the backup quarterback being a potential starter. But thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, Chris. I think you should have the bonfire if I get a vote.
Oh, me too.
Yes, have a good one. You do the same. Thank you for the call, as always. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I mean, with the Eagles in general, this is the year where you're still close enough to your 2017 Super Bowl that, you know, people say, okay, well, they can still do this, and Carson is your main man. And they have upgraded in different ways. Their draft was a plethora, and hopefully good health, which they definitely didn't have across the board last year. The flip side is if they don't make noise that is significant, now you're 4 years ago, and it becomes you're not in that conversation anymore, right? Other teams have passed you by, so where are you then? But that all is coming, right? Hopefully. And football is the one that is still able to kind of sit back and wait to see how some of these other sports and organizations do things and the safety measures they put in place and how successful they are with those. Believe me, I think they're eyeing all of this. And as we had numerous calls and also in talking to Mark Spears, they have the most money. They have the most eyes on them as a league. And so everything is purposeful and should be purposeful. And you can't miss opportunities when you're the NFL because people look to you. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Dave in Center City. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Jingle, how are you?
All right, wait a minute. Are you in Center City right now?
Believe it or not, I am in Southwest Philadelphia. I own a rooming home, and I'm going to go surprise the troops, check on what they need, any home repairs that need to be done.
Nice.
And you know why I'm doing that? Because I'm a beaten man, Dave. I'm a whipped man. 2020 started. You knew COVID-19 was on the back burner. We just kept our fingers crossed. It wouldn't come here. We got caught unprepared. The protesters, God bless them, they're protesting for a reason.
Yep.
There's no end in sight for that. There was no baseball, hockey, or basketball to fall back on. We're in the first week of June. I don't even want to go down the shore. I got 3 invites at 3 beachfront properties. I'm a beaten man, Dave.
Well, half is done. There's half to go in 2020. So
yeah, I gotta think
it can only go up, would be my first knee-jerk reaction, or hopeful.
Yeah.
If I'm being hopeful, I'll see the glass half full.
I watched the Jason Kelce speech 3 times last night at the parade. I think we are in very good shape to repeat a Super Bowl
you
champion.
You do?
Why not?
No, hey. I'm not saying they can't. I just think that the rest of the league, what is Kansas City just going to go away? They don't want to have a repeat?
Well, Kansas City and Tennessee will be our opponent.
I got you. That, so you're saying that, to
Dallas,
come out.
Yeah, Dallas, very dangerous. Do not sleep on Dallas. Hey, I took some investigator. A buddy of mine does not know your married name. He said, Dave, I know for a fact she is not married. I said,
what are you doing? Why are you going down this road?
Inquiring minds want to know.
I want to tell you that Tyler said it's okay that I keep my... my last name is Lynam. That is my last name.
That's an iconic last name in Philadelphia.
Yes, it's a nice name, isn't it?
Where are we going with the NBA? What is your medulla oblongata tell you? Who's going to, if keep our fingers crossed, who's going to be the 2020 NBA champ this year?
That's a great... Well, you know, I'm not much of a gambler, but I do look at the odds.
Yes.
And it's like far and away, there are three teams that are viewed, and it's the three that most people would have said going into it had there not even been this stoppage of play or pause on a season. So it's still both Los Angeles teams and
right.
Milwaukee. The thing that I have the hardest time, Dave, is knowing, well, Tyler and I have been discussing this. One, having no home court, is that advantageous or not advantageous? Right?
Denise, we're undefeated at home.
No, I didn't mean to the Sixers. I'm saying in general. Like, how do you make up for that? Right?
Well,
if you were going to say that, Dave, they also had the worst road record of any team in the playoff picture. So,
yeah, but you know what? The Seattle Seahawks of basketball, the Kansas City Chiefs of basketball would be getting killed under this new format. You're right. With the noise, there is no noise level.
Yeah, there's no noise level.
Yeah. So who?
So you know what? I don't think the Sixers are going to win the championship. I don't. I think, and I hope they play well. I do think Milwaukee will come out of the East, and I think they will play one of those LA teams. I need to see if the Clippers are healthy because I do think they are the deepest.
Yes.
So, but I just read something about LeBron, and it's like a John Hollinger formula. He's been the most impactful player in playoff series of all time. And I'm going to go and look and see what statistically how that was done. But his numbers and his calculations are usually pretty spot on. So I'm going to keep that in mind when I said I picked the Clippers if they're healthy.
Okay. So everything's still status quo, Bucks, Clippers.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see somebody at the bottom just because there's no home court advantage for the, you know, the top seed that they can then knock them off because that's the case?
Yeah, is Durant come?
No, he's out. Help? He's out.
He's out.
He said he was out.
I hate to see the Shamrocks flex their muscles. You want me to hear something kooky, D?
Let me hear.
I'd love to see Dwight Howard get a ring.
You know what? That would be kind of cool. We debated last week because it came up, is he a Hall of Famer? And when you look statistically, it's not even close. And I had forgotten how many good years he had in Orlando before he went on the move. I mean, this guy was a heck of a player. So
yeah, Shaq didn't endorse him. 2.5 games into the title against San Antonio, he quit, which didn't. But he's a nice dude. He deserves
right. Well, his
ring.
Going, his time in LA did not sit well with a lot of people. His time in Houston didn't work out. Now he's back in LA, so he has the chance to redo it.
Have you been out golfing yet, or are you just like me, just frustrated?
No, as much as I can, Dave, as much as I can. Not on Saturdays because I come here. But when I leave on Sunday, I usually go hit that ball.
What are you doing well? What are you doing poorly?
Yesterday I was awful. It also had been kind of like rainy conditions, but that's neither here nor there. That's my problem. So I had a hard time yesterday getting out of the rough. really only on two holes, but it screwed my whole day up. Yeah. What am I doing? Well, generally speaking, I've been putting better.
Good.
Yeah, so.
So you come in hot, or you're reading the greens good, or you come in hot, or?
I think I'm reading the greens better, definitely. And I think also, like, trusting yourself putting,
yeah,
right? You know, if you just punch at it, it looks like you don't have real confidence. Yeah.
You know how hard golf is? Only 1% of the population breaks 80. That's a difficult game. Somebody said they saw D. Lineham out on the golf course. I said, no, it was Natalie Gulbis. You have a good weekend.
Thank you, Dave. Goodbye. He's actually entertaining. I used to get nervous, but I find him entertaining. 610-632-0975.
I might have to get some putting tips from you, because that's always been my downfall. Yeah, can't putt. Can't read a green.
You gotta, reading greens is part of it. And the other thing, when I play at a different place, okay, you can have the first hole, like, oh, I don't know the speed of the greens, or, well, you better adjust. Right, you can't keep saying, well, they're so much slower than where I played, you know, the other day. You can't say that.
You might have two holes to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, that can't be the excuse, is my point. So, and, I mean, I listen to the people who know. You try to have your short game is where you score. So if you can't be good around the greens and on the green, you're probably going to struggle with the score. But for me personally, I also, generally speaking, I get off the tee pretty well. And if I do not, it's probably more, I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but that's a mainstay of my game, that where things begin mentally for me. So, but generally speaking, it's been a pretty good spring so far. 610-632-0975. So we've kind of checked all these boxes, quite frankly. We've talked about hockey and basketball, baseball. I knew it. The LeBron thing from Hollinger. Best player. Yeah, here we go. I better make sure I got my glasses to read this one. Sometimes I don't need them, other times. All right. He's number one. Out of 45 series played, let's see what the formula to figure this out was. Recently looked up playoff game score ratings from Basketball Reference, which we all use, which is amazing. And former Grizzlies front office, John Hollinger, right? A rough measure of a player's productivity for a single game. According to GameScore, LeBron James has been the number one player in more playoff series than anyone else, which speaks to the four-time league MVP's sustained level of excellence. James has been the top statistical player 38 times out of 45 playoff series he's taken part in per game score. Good for a percentage of 84.4%. Whoa.
You know what the funny thing is, too? You could probably pick out the games, the series that he wasn't.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot harder to pick out the series that he was, because it's just expected.
Right. Okay, so I don't understand this one, though. Not to be outdone, Michael Jordan owns the best percentage of series in which he was the best player. Only twice out of the 37 playoff series he competed in was he not the top player, giving him a strong percentage of 94.6. So only twice for him, seven times for LeBron. So I'm going to guess, obviously, Kevin Durant was better in the one. With Golden State, maybe two, right? Didn't he get the finals?
He went back to back, yeah.
Yeah, so probably Durant in both of those. Let's see, who did he lose to?
Tim Duncan, probably.
In one of
in
them,
2007.
Right. So I wonder, these are not just finals. These were playoff series. Because I'm saying to myself, who bested Jordan? So probably that first year when he played in the Celtics series, and I bet you it's going to be that Bird was the better one in that. But Jordan did have two 55-point games then. Interesting. I'll have to think. Somebody was better in a whole series than Jordan twice with those statistics. That's pretty cool, though, that they can measure those and the top two guys that come out yet again are LeBron James and Michael Jordan.
To the surprise of absolutely no one.
Correct. How about though when you hear LeBron's been in 45 playoff series?
That's amazing.
Yes. That is amazing.
I mean, you figure
and he's adding to it this year.
When you go to, what was it, 8 straight finals appearances
yep.
or 7?
No,
I mean, that's 32 series right there.
Right, exactly. Oh, gosh, yeah. I didn't even think about
it. I mean,
that
if you want to simplify it, that's the best way to do it.
Right, sure. So then it was more his time before with Cleveland of how many series does he get before he got to the finals.
4 in 2007, yep. too, so it's like 36
right there.
He's gone to the finals.
And he's got 45. And he didn't go last year, so we know it wasn't with the Lakers. Yeah. Interesting. 610-632-0975. It's funny. Like, sometimes you say, oh, what is that statistic proof? So that's just another way of adding to the conversation of, you know, the two greats. And probably unfairly going too far back, they didn't play in the same format of the playoffs, right? You didn't, and it's the same as baseball, you know, when it was just 4. Now, you know, you've expanded how many playoff rounds there are. But for these two, it still comes out Jordan and LeBron. LeBron having played in the most and having been the best player 84% of that time, and Jordan having played in 8 less series but not being the best player only twice for a series. Pretty cool. 610-632-0975. So I thought we could finish, since we started with Iverson and him, today would be the 19th anniversary of that Game 1 victory. But I think when you say the Game 1 victory, we associate it with him stepping over Tyronn Lue. So what other image stands out? I have two in my head that you instantly, when you say that game, that championship or that win, you know, it's usually, it doesn't, I guess it could be a regular season game if the image is so powerful. But if you say Game 1, 2001, it's like not even close. Everybody knows. It's the step over. They picture the black number 3, the high knee, Lou on the ground and the Lakers bench right behind him. I mean, that's, everybody knows what that is. So try to think of another picture in your mind. Like I said, I have two. Tyler, you'll be thinking.
Just from that series, or are you talking championships in general?
In general, or any sport too. But you can picture, actually I just thought of a third. In sports in general, where the image is as iconic or connected to that moment or that victory for whatever team, that individual, however you want to say it. So we'll do that on the other side. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Saturday night, June 6th, 2020. Dee Lynam and Tyler Zuli with you till 7 o'clock tonight. And then let the big dog hunt. Joe Stazak coming in. So I had said, if you can think of a sports image, because today is the anniversary of the Sixers winning that Game 1 in 2001. But to me, there's an image of Iverson making that shot and then doing the step over, looking at the Lakers bench. So something like that, that you instantly go to that image when you think of that win, that championship, that iconic moment for somebody. Because if you think about it, that's 19 years later, and somebody, Tyler, you're not that old, but you know the step over.
Yep.
If we say it, you know it.
Of course.
Step over. Yeah, all right. So if you have that, give us a call at 610-632-0975. I'll give you a couple of mine in a moment, but first let's check in with Mike in Cherry Hill. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
Yes, wanted to mention, Jessica, wanted to mention a couple of things. Number one was just talking to Tyler, and Tyler's going to get a show one day. He's going to get a show. But
he gets, he sits in the chair.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I just wanted to mention that how is it looking, D, if they're a bad road team
already, and you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know.
And they play all the playoff games on the road. What does that mean?
Well, technically, they wouldn't be considered road games. They'd be considered neutral because there's no cheering for the other team either.
Okay, this is what I told Tyler. The reason why, you a basketball head, you know this. The reason why those guys were playing so poorly on the road wasn't because guys were screaming and booing. It was because they were playing bad basketball, okay? It had nothing to do with fans, okay? So let's not give ourselves so much credit. Guys are out there playing. And yeah, you know, a free throw or something might matter, but come on, man. It's not going to be a big deal with guys not playing. Guys grew up playing the game with no fans.
Oh, no, I understand. But the disparity between, are you going to say then they weren't playing well in their own building and yet they only managed to lose twice?
Again, B, we're not talking about the old building anymore. They're not going to be playing in Philadelphia anymore this year. So
no, I know, but you said, how are they going to do anything if they have to have all the games on the road? So I said, if you're going to look at it like that, it's not on the road. It's neutral.
Okay. Well, that's semantics. We can debate road versus neutral.
What I'm
trying to say is that when they were playing away from home, they were playing a bad brand of basketball, and so
that was why I asked you. Did you think they were? Did you think
after the unprecedented break, no one knows how they're going to play? So the only thing we have to go off of is how they played when we saw them last play.
Right, which is what I asked you a question. You said they played a bad brand of basketball on the road. I asked you,
correct,
did they play the same brand of basketball at home?
No.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, well, again, listen, but the reason why I called in today is because, unless I've checked, I haven't checked the news today, but I don't think the whole NBA playoffs are going to be played at the Wells Fargo Dome. It's going to be played somewhere else. So unless they have to, play better away from the Dome, away from the Wells Fargo, I think it's going to be an issue. And I don't see anyone who otherwise can try to explain that. Okay, thanks,
Dee. I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your Saturday. Yeah, they're not going to be in the Wells Fargo. That I get, but I don't know how you can discount that it's not playing in somebody else's house. It's just not. Anyhow, but maybe I'm missing the boat on that. Do they have to play better basketball than any of the road games we saw? Yes, absolutely. Do we have any idea what will we be seeing after this long layoff? No, it's hard to know. But, you know, I can't say that playing in a neutral site makes them the road team they were when they had a well below 500 record. I can't say that. And I don't have an example of them playing on a neutral site because they haven't done that. But I think that's there's somewhere other than just it's on the road. It's not. And everybody that is involved in this, all 22 teams, are given these scenarios. So some of them had good road records, good home records. What some of them didn't. But they're now all in a different setting. And by the way, I think there are days that they will play, I'm not saying a doubleheader because they'll probably space it out, but everybody in the 22 has to play one day where they play two games in the same day.
That will be interesting.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, obviously everybody's done it, you know, whether it's youth
like,
hey, or
take
whatever.
Take it back to your AAU.
But yeah, that'd be cool.
Yes, I know. One time you have to play two in the same day. So I'm not saying it's a doubleheader because I didn't see how they were spacing it out, but my guess is they'll give them a rest and then you come back and you play again. Some of them might just like to roll it back out there. I don't know. All right. Do you have an image for me of something that stands out and you think instantly of that particular moment?
Go ahead. So two of them stood out, one local, one more national. Yes.
Okay.
So the national one is David Tyree with the football pinned against his helmet in the 2007 Super Bowl.
Giants, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, Giants versus the Patriots.
When they beat the undefeated Patriots. So that one stands out to me nationally. And then locally is, you know, Lidge, slider.
That was mine.
Drops to his knees. You know,
drops to his knees.
Those are my two.
Yep, absolutely. And you know it's when they win the championship.
Yep.
And All right, so then my other is when Jordan does the jump in the air after the shot on Elo, and you know it's from the opposite baseline. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing.
It's a great shot.
Yeah, it's a great shot. And it's actually ironic because I feel like that is the Air Jordan kind of logo, but the Jordan logo, I think, was way before that. So, but it's so cool looking. And then I had one that was more national. Well, it is national. I always remember Jim Craig of the U.S. hockey team in 1980 when they won, draped in the American flag. And I remember thinking, and I was a kid, and I remember him just standing there, and it was like, wow, that was a big moment. Yeah, so anyhow, those Lidge to the knees is a great one. Oh my God, the football pinned against the helmet, that's another good one. Yeah, it's just like something in that moment. First of all, the fact that it was captured. Now you have video, but some of them were captured by still photographers, and they definitely stand out. We had our poll. We're going to give the answer to our poll question, which was back in 2001 when the Sixers won game one. We're going to give you this on the other side. When they won game one, how many of you thought they were going to go on to win the championship? And well, it's a yes or a no. So you can, I think there's a couple minutes left to vote. 610-632-0975. And I'll just go back to our last caller, Mike. I mean, do you have equal concerns of with the Sixers not having the Wells Fargo to, quote, fall back on because it is such a crowd for them and such an asset for them when they play there, indicative by the fact that they had only lost twice in that building this year, because they won't have that to lean on? Will they be more impacted than, say, other teams that are in the 22-team field? I don't know. I personally don't think so. People say that the Bucks will be hurt a lot. I've never seen in the playoff setting. I've gone and seen the Milwaukee Bucks when they were, you know, getting better, of course. But I've not been there last year in a playoff setting, but I wouldn't have thought, oh, it's a new building too. That's probably the other reason. Okay. People say it's definitely a home court advantage for them and that they will be probably a team that will miss it greatly. A team that people think will benefit are the Clippers, because even when they're home, they often have Lakers fans that are there, and it's a Lakers town still. Until the Clippers win the championship, but I'm not sure they can overtake. It's a Lakers town. So in this case, I personally was looking forward to hoping that the Lakers and Clippers were going to meet in the postseason when all was back to before all the shutdown, and to see a series that was played, let's just say it went seven games, all in the same building, to me would have been very cool. And what would that have sounded like game to game, right? Would you ever think it was favoring the Clippers, and just by wearing, you know, the home uniform versus the road uniform, how that impacted, if at all? But I was looking forward to seeing that. Now instead, I mean, you could still see them square off against each other if that's how the seeding and series go down eventually in the postseason, in the Western Conference, and maybe even in the Western Conference Finals, but it won't be in the Staples Center. 610-632-0975. When we return here on 97.5 The Fanatic, Tyler Zuli will have the results of our poll question today. And again, if you want to weigh in on that sports image that you associate with that win, that victory, that championship, any or all of the above, like I do when somebody says Game 1, 2001 NBA Finals. Iverson and the Step Over. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. We have one segment left here on 97.5. I am D-Line. I'm with you until the top of the hour. And throughout today, we've kind of been reminiscing a little about 2001 and the Sixers game one victory. And Tyler, you did the poll question based on this. You can read what the question was, and our results would be excellent.
Yeah, so our question was, after the Sixers won game one of the 2001 NBA Finals, did you think that they had a shot to win the series? We had 883 votes. The poll officially went final. 54.7% said yes. 45.3% said no.
All right, so we had very realistic people out there, you know, in terms of the 50-50. I think what you realized right away in that first game, even though, well, Iverson was a hero, and he had 48 points. And the chances of him being able to do 48 every day wasn't going
to
happen.
Yeah, imagine trying to duplicate that for four, five, six games.
No, and what he needed a running mate. And Shaq, first of all, was so dominant. But he also had a running mate in Kobe that was equally dominant. They flip-flopped for being the leading scorer on the team throughout those five games. So, yeah. To me, I had this, like, I felt the Sixers were an underdog going in, even though their records as teams were comparable. But I just didn't feel like they had the firepower. And if people don't realize, if you haven't seen Shaq play in his prime, I did think he was unstoppable.
So I'll ask you, because obviously I was young when this season happened.
Yeah.
They had comparable records. Did the Lakers not, was it like a coast to the playoffs type thing, just win enough games? What happened?
I'm trying to think. Well, keep in mind, the Sixers went out gangbusters,
right,
as I told you, and then they were great at the All-Star, which is when they traded Theo Ratliff for Dikembe. They weren't great after All-Star break.
Okay.
They were the ones who kind of floundered more, I should tell you, is really what it was. I don't recall. I think the Lakers were steady as they went to their 56 wins. And I think it was the Sixers. But the Sixers also made what I considered the necessary change to go and get Dikembe. Because I don't think, Theo ended up never, you wouldn't have known this at the time, but Theo ended up not returning that year. His injury did not allow for that. And as a result, you would have been really hurting. It would have been Matt Geiger and Todd McCullough anchoring the center position, and I don't think that would have been enough at all. Yeah, so the Lakers were 56-26 that year, and I believe that was the same as the Philadelphia 76ers. All right, let's go to the phones. 610-632-0975. Brian's with us. Brian, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D. How's it going today?
Pretty good.
To what you were just talking about, that was the best of those Lakers teams. I mean, they had hit the peak, and they hadn't started to fracture yet. And,
no, not at all, right? I know.
They were undefeated in the playoffs before that game won.
Yes, exactly.
And I was even at the time, I was in the camp that thought the everyone complaining about the Shaq offensive fouls, I thought that was sour grapes. I mean, I don't believe you penalize a player for being
the size of who he was. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you.
You know, it kills me. I mean, I understand it's never going to happen, but Ben Simmons is never going to be able to get away with that Paul George, like, dip your shoulder
and throw it into it. Yeah, exactly.
And then elevate, because it just looks like he's charging because he's taller. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
But at any rate, good topic with the, let me pull my window up here. Good topic with the no home court advantage in the playoffs.
Yes.
I think another, like, sometime before July 31st, an interesting conversation is, like, who are the winners and who are the losers of having this long break? Like, for example, like, the Heat, to me, are big winners because they were kind of leaking a lot of oil when, you know, with injuries and whatnot when the season was suspended, and they're going to probably come back at full strength.
Sure. That's true. But the flip side is, so they should come back at full strength. A team like the Lakers, a LeBron must welcome the rest. And Anthony Davis. So people who are veterans, but you know, wear and tear on your body. I think they come back unless you're too old, in which case, you know, now you're just getting older by not playing doesn't help. You know what I mean? But I don't think these guys are that.
Older players with a lot of playoff experience that know how to flip the switch, I think those teams will benefit.
And I think we've seen those guys. So I think we know who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, like, the Sixers home court, a huge part of it is that they shoot so much better at home than they do on the road.
This is true.
And, you know, that's not make or miss. Like, it has a whole bunch of knock-on effects. Like, you would see, because of the lack of confidence on the road, guys passing up shots, which leads to other problems because, you know, your teammates are kind of expecting you to do one thing and you do another, and then that leads to turnovers. So it's not just the raw shooting numbers. And I feel like that could go either way at a neutral site. I mean, it's so much of shooting is just kind of like comfort and repetition.
Well, if that's the case, by the time they play games, first of all, they'll be shooting in the same place for almost 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time the playoffs are now underway, you'll be shooting in the same place, you know, for 2 months.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that could help.
You know, to mix sports, I mean, you know, in golf, when you are, you know, say, choosing between a 7-iron and an 8-iron, and you're not totally locked in, you're much less likely to just take a good swing.
Correct.
You know, and the same thing with you're just, you know, you're going to shoot and you're going to make the shot, as opposed to having a doubt, like, should I shoot this? Should I not shoot this?
Yep.
You know, that can,
I know
it's
the old thing. Trust the club, trust your swing.
Yeah. Or however you kind of take that aim.
Yeah, absolutely. And be confident in the choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, thank you for making the call. I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, dude.
All right. I appreciate that, too. Thanks for calling the Fanatic. Can I just go back? I had to know. They both had 56 and 26 records. But the final game of the season in 2001 was against the Bulls. And Allen Iverson did not play in the final game. And the Sixers scored 86 points to the Bulls. And by the way, it was at home, mind you. And the Bulls, I believe, 92-86. They got beat by a Bulls team that started A.J. Guyton, Elton Brand, Fred Hoiberg, Meta World Peace, and Brad Miller. And
cost him home court.
Cost him home court. I remember when I said there was something that happened. I couldn't remember if it was the last game of the season. That was so obvious now. And Iverson didn't play. You know, rest the guy.
Lakers, meanwhile, won their final 8 games of the regular season.
Yeah, they were on a roll. Well, and they had won every playoff game up until the game one of the finals.
So the last time they had lost
was what date?
April 1st.
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, that goes back to kind of like the year the Sixers went in on the 16-game winning streak. You know, yeah, I remember people were nervous that year because, you know, you kind of want to get one out of the way. I say no. When you're in a groove, keep it going. Yeah, that cost him home court. Well, we'll never know. As you said, game three was pivotal, and it could have been a 2-1, and that was a 5-point loss. And instead, they were down 1-2 going into their game four, and by the time they were getting to game five, it was all but over. I want to make sure I thank, first of all the callers and listeners, for sure. And also Mark Spears for joining us for a while to talk about not just the NBA resuming, but also just the different things happening in the world. And he had such tremendous perspective from his own experience, going back to his parents' experiences, and then now seeing the world as it is today. So I appreciate his thoughts on that. And all your thoughts, too. And thanks for contributing to the poll, because it gives us a take of, you know, that people are interested and paying attention. So we appreciate that as well. We'll be back again tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Off the top of my head, I can't think exactly something that is happening, but we'll find something. We'll find some good conversation again. The whole home court, I might try to find some examples of neutral court and how that differs maybe from having home court or not the home court advantage. I mean, we're talking about the Sixers not having home court advantage in 0-1. Did that play a factor in them going down in five games? It looks like from the outside it didn't, but, you know, it, when it's set up to be different, then the results can be different along the way as well. We are out of time. Joe Stazak is up next. And again, stay safe out there. Have a great evening. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow afternoon. Thanks for listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.